This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the guest, Julian Fern, and the no nickname as of yet, Rob Edwards. It has to come to me. It takes time. He's not just given. These things are earned, Rob, but it will come because Julian's not happy with his, but don't worry. But there is a lot going on in the Leighton Orient world because not only are we going to be talking about that disappointing defeat to Colchester on the weekend, massive news, and it's one that we've kind of covered on the show, the roster bait. Well, the roster bait is no more because he has decided to step down. Who will be the new man in charge and how do we feel about this news and how do you, more importantly, feel about this news? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558 and let us know what you think. And I think we have to start there, don't we? Because normally we do the game review first, but the big news is, and the big talking point, he has decided to step down. Julian, I'll ask you first. It's something we've covered quite a lot on this show. How do you feel about it?
I did say sort of 10 games in, and the results haven't gone the way he probably would have expected, the club expected, us fans have expected. And I think he's done sort of a good job in difficult circumstances, but I think everyone's thinking probably the right decision. The bit for me which probably comes with a bit of sourness is the reported incident on Saturday, sort of some verbal abuse towards his family, and that's just not acceptable in any sport. So if Ross, you are listening, sorry for anyone's paid your wife some wrong words, but reality is it's a football game. Move on. There's a list as long as your arm of people who has been sort of connected with the opportunity to come and join us as manager. So we'll wait and see with bated breath.
Well, let's touch on that just quickly before we get everyone else's opinion because, football... There's a bigger picture to it, a really difficult job to take on in the summer, tragic circumstances that he took under in charge. He said, he was just trying to help out. He was trying to provide the club with that bit of security, bit of stability, because it was really difficult situation they found themselves. He doesn't deserve the abuse. It's absolutely nonsense, if you ask me. He shouldn't be getting it. And especially at any football club, but one like Leighton Orient, it's not how you're run. Your traditional values, it's a family club. We don't like to see it. Twitter's been a big theme of this show because we asked for questions and it's very different. But this week, a heavy topic we've been talking on Love Sport Radio is, Robinson, the fullback at Liverpool, he's had to deactivate his Twitter since last week's Champions League loss to Napoli because he was suffering abuse. It's absolutely crazy, even from Liverpool fans, but we don't like to see it, especially for the manager there. He did say he will be staying on until they find that new man in charge. Could this actually provide a little bit of relief for the players, because maybe a little bit of pressure on him now, he can just go in because they know there will be a change made? And Brendan, how do you feel about the news overall?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I'd like to place my credit and all towards Ross, because it's such a, really, when you think about it, it's probably one of the most difficult jobs in football he probably took on this summer. So to have won a few games, to have steadied the ship, to have got the players' minds back on football and normality, you've got a credit to him. And now, probably a sensible decision, time to step away. It wasn't quite working out. He didn't, I don't think, really wanted to be there. I think he was more than happy to stay as assistant. So get a more experienced head in, and let's hope that results will pick up following that.
Well, he is going to stay as assistant coach, something you all said would happen. The new man that they finally do get in, he will be keeping around. That's probably part of the job description. Rob, I have to ask you, how did you feel when the news broke? Wasn't really much of a surprise, but how were you feeling?
Yeah, I think it was definitely coming. I think he's given himself a target of what we've all said, kind of 9-10 games to see how things are going. Looking promising at the beginning, but we've kind of been found out in recent weeks. So I think it's definitely the right time to get someone else in. I think what you can say is he obviously cares greatly about the club. You can see that in his interviews and the way he's been on the touchline and the way he's sort of composed himself throughout. He's done it with dignity. You can't really ask for more in that circumstance. So I think everyone's got a lot of respect for him. For those who wanted him gone, or for those that wanted to give him a bit longer, you can't doubt kind of the way he's gone about business. It's just not been too great on the football pitch. And he's obviously Orient through and through, and he'll support the next man that comes in. And go back to what he does best, really.
Well, there is some division amongst fans, but is the division amongst fans that people saying that they're happy this has happened, or Ross should have stayed, they didn't want to see this happen? Where is this whole division started from, and what's at the centre of it, Julian?
I think the strong opinion, excuse me, the strong opinion is, I think you got a camp of people who will which don't want to allow what's gone over the summer to disappear, and I think it never will. In the history of Leyton Orient, it never will. But reality is, we're in the business of winning. We have to win football games, and we need to move forward. As you know, Kent was on here a few weeks back and said seventh minimum, and we're not a seventh position forming team at the moment. So I think the opinions are always going to be there. Whoever the new guy comes in, everyone's going to have an opinion on that as soon as the guy's been announced, and you get Twitter ramblers saying he's done this here, he's not good enough, he's not Justin's replacement, he's no better than Ross, etc., etc. But reality is, I think the club and Martin Ling's got a bit of a tough decision now to make, because this is probably tougher than putting in a new manager in the summer. It's probably even tougher, in my opinion, because he's now all eyes on him. Yeah, it's like it could have been anyone coming in the summer, and it'd be because of the situation we had to give them 10 games to get themselves sorted. So it's a difficult one for everyone.
And I think it's a bit of a strange one as well, in that Martin Ling came out and said, we're going to invite applicants and we'll do a thorough process over the next few weeks. And you kind of feel, if Ross is going to take over for the next few games as he is, maybe they could have kept it quiet until they had a deal agreed with a manager and then he could come straight in. Because you kind of feel now there's a bit of uncertainty, kind of like Ross is there kind of in limbo at the minute, waiting to step down. But it's probably going to be at least another week, I think, until we get a new man in charge. So.
But we said it, though, there could be a flip side, that the pressure's off, you know what I mean? Now Ross knows there's no like heavy weight on him, this huge expectation for him to do where we didn't want to be there. Now he's like, well, I know I'm just doing it for a few more weeks. It actually could work in the other way, obviously, Brendan, but I understand what you're saying. But who could this new man be in charge? You know, obviously, the bookies are very quick to make lists. People get linked to jobs straight away. I know we tatted a few names last week, but if I could all ask two names from you, one, who you think it will be. I know it's different. We asked last week. One, who you think it will be, and two, who do you want it to be? And Rob, I'll start with you.
We'll talk it outside. I think it's most likely going to be a manager with ties to London. Sol Campbell's the obvious one that I think comes to mind. Would I want him to be the manager? Not
yes.
really.
Oh, sorry.
No offence. I just don't. I think we need someone with a little bit more league experience.
Yeah, winning premierships is not. It's not enough. Yeah,
no, not really. Yeah, Mickey Mouse League.
Who do you think, play
for? I don't know.
Newcastle, isn't it?
Newcastle, amongst others.
I think it will be Sol Campbell, but I would like to see someone like Derek Adams. Doesn't come across as the most likeable person, but
he's very good manager.
You don't need to go for beers with him. You just need to get results on the pitch, and he's been pretty successful at that level. So I would like someone in that ilk.
Two interesting names. Obviously, Sol Campbell was the man in charge when Orient did suffer that 3-0 defeat to Macclesfield earlier in the season. He's no longer there, so he is a free agent. Julian, I know who probably one of the names you're going to say. You said it last week. Are you sticking with that? Who do you want, and who do you think will be in charge?
Right, so I won't say it out loud because I've got absolutely chastised on Twitter and social media. Ian Holloway. So I'm a fan of Ian Holloway's. I like the style. Whether his football was going to get us out of this stupid old league and turn things around, I just think it's a bit of a character, and sometimes you need a bit of a character. I'm in the ilk of what Rob was saying. I think it's going to get down to someone who's really local to London. I think that's a premise that... Ling tries to embed in players, so he'll probably try to embed that into his management choices. But then I'll just quick look here, you know. But again, I think Adam steps out for me for being, if we're going to go for something different, he's definitely that type of character who will get that dressing room on side again.
Well, I know one person who would definitely get it right. We don't call him the knowledge on this show for nothing. Brendan, who will be the man in charge? Because these two, they're not in the know, but you are.
The man I'd love, again, is Derek Adams, if in an ideal world. He's been incredibly successful in his career so far. He's had pretty much two jobs, and the only time he's really had a bit of a blip was last season with Plymouth, when he'd done so well getting them out of League Two. They almost made the playoffs their first season back, and then they kind of fell away and got relegated last year, but... Then also, you could look at what he did at Ross County, and he got to the Scottish Cup final with them, two promotions. Just seems like a really successful manager, who I think... he's realistic, but I'm going to go with who I think will be Sean Derry is my one who I think it might be.
Palace Academy coach, isn't
it? Yeah. He's close friends with Justin. He spoke at his funeral. They've got links there. Mm. He lives in the area, local coach, ticks all the boxes, young. We've still got a bit of league to experience, managed with Notts County in Cambridge. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I'd rather have Derek Adams.
Would it be much better? Do you think that'd be much better than Ross? I think, I don't know.
I think it would be an improvement on Ross, yeah, but how much of an improvement? Well, I'd give him a chance, certainly, but I wouldn't be convinced.
Sean Derry, who actually has been on Love Sport quite a few times, we were hoping to get him on the Crystal Palace fan show next week. If he does, maybe I'll have to throw in an Orient question there if the manager's not appointed by then.
If you can't get him on the phone, you know where he is, yeah?
This is it. Well, let's have some fun with it. Let's flip the question on his head. Who's the man you do not want to see in charge where you think, this is maybe appointment made with haste and we don't really want this man in charge? Brendan was straight in with his hand up.
Martin Allen.
Whoa. Don't
I've seen him.
We get kicked off.
Yeah.
Brendan, you will be banned. I cannot believe you've just said that. Martin is a very good friend of mine. This is not a laughing matter. I genuinely hope, for mine and Mike's sake, and because I've got so much respect and time for Martin, that he is not listening. Because let me tell you, he does drive every day and he listens to these shows. And if he listens, I will not be coming in to work tomorrow. That is for sure. Brendan, you are not coming next week. I hope Adam is free. Rob, let's move on very, very quickly. And let me just defend Martin. He would be a very, very good manager at Orient. He knows those leagues inside out. And I tell you, he is a wise, wise veteran. He knows what he is doing. That is for sure. Stability and security is just what Orient needed. The minute, Rob.
I wouldn't like to see Tim Flowers. I think his name's been put in there, but ugly football at Solihull. Again, league
experience. One season wonder, though, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. No league experience. I think what Solihull did was a bit kind of overstated anyway, because they had quite a big budget. I wouldn't want. I don't think his style will be the sort that us fans want to see.
Julian.
A couple of choices. The one I'm probably going to go with is Kevin Nolan. That's been sort of muted a bit. Didn't do a bad job when he was here last time. I think his career has been sort of all over the place since he left us. So I wouldn't want him back. I think some of the negative stuff that was said by some of the players and when he left. So I think just leave that there. But there's been some real randoms, isn't there? We were talking about earlier.
Well,
Stephen Constantine, the manager of India. Mm. So he's put his name in there. He would like to manage Orient.
I'm going to throw a name into the mix. Chris Powell.
Yeah,
we said that. I just think Nairage has got a job in England.
Has that been confirmed though, or is he just helping out?
He's got a jacket and a badge.
He's got a contract until the Euros.
As
they've employed a BAME candidate for each of the age groups in Chris.
Right. If he was with England, I would take him. Probably he knows the league.
But,
he'd fit. Right, he knows the club as well. He's been in the Orient quite a bit. Yeah.
And he's obviously friends with Gareth. I mean, if he wanted to be a full-time manager and not this England advisor, which I'm sure is, you know, it's very prestigious, is a great opportunity for him. I don't think anyone would stand in his way though if Orient wanted to speak to him or he wanted to go. So it's not out of the realms of possibility, is it?
Agree.
I mean, he's 50 now as well, so he's probably not got too many shots. Left at kind of league level.
Well,
I'm trying to say he's old, Julian.
Thank you.
Well, I think that almost Chris Powell's underrated, if that's possible, because you know sometimes we look at their last job or certain jobs they've done, and we get this. It tarnishes their legacy, their reputation, and that's what we think of him. It's not always the case. If only we look to QPR this season, Mark Warburton. Everyone said, "Oh, look what he done with Rangers and Forest." People forget what he done at Brentford, and now look at the job he's doing with QPR. Four wins on the bounce. They're in the playoffs.
And playing good football as well.
And playing very, very good football, and you know, and he's managed to get them out of that whole FFP, which is a massive, massive change. But someone who will know more next, we're talking to sports reporter Jacob Ranson, and he may know a name. It just might take charge.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast. Let me tell you, the manager debate was rumbling on. Lots of names being thrown around in the studio. I'm joined by the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, who's maybe slightly losing his knowledge. I'm joined by the guest, Julian Fern and Rob Edwards. Well, someone who may know more about the times with Leighton Orient at the minute, the manager change, Ross is stepping down. I'm delighted to say we are joined by Jacob Ranson, sports reporter for the East London Advertiser. Jacob, obviously huge week of news where Orient are concerned. Ross has decided to step down. He wanted to provide the club with a little bit of security and stability in what was tragic circumstances with the passing of Justin Ellenborough this summer. Now, though, where'd Orient go? Who could be that next man in charge, Jacob? Jacob's not there, so I'll have to ask Julian. Julian, what do you think? Who could be the next man in charge?
We were still here about 10 minutes ago, didn't we? So, do you know what? Going back to earlier on, we talked about sort of the opinions of other people. And I think what may be a good idea is that people do the right things and sort of get out onto Twitter and start to sharing some good news and good views and opinions instead of just sort of berating other people who are on social media sharing theirs.
And with regards to the manager job, I think there's a case of maybe tempering expectations. I've seen a few names banded around, like Chris Hughton, people like that. Yeah,
imagine
Sam
that.
Allardyce, people like that. Yeah, do you think he'd be interested? I don't think he would. So I think as a case of maybe tempering our expectations a bit, we're a League Two club, maybe we won't be able to do that.
Well, there's a hard thing. When you appoint a manager 10 games in charge, let's talk about it, because you mentioned that it could have been easier to hire a new manager at the start of the season. Obviously, now it's almost more difficult, you said, Brendan, but how difficult is it? Because 10 games, obviously, he can't make signings, he has to carry on. Is this a real challenge for him, or will he just have to hit the ground running now till January?
So 10 games or whatever games, Justin came in sort of mid-season, didn't he? And look at what he did very quickly. So the good thing where we are now, we're not in a real awful, awful bad place. This gets some reality checks, yeah? And so I think if Ross had won a couple of other games, we wouldn't be having this conversation tonight. We'd have probably motored on to Christmas and see where we were then. So we're not in a terrible place. We've got a squad, mainly of the players that brought us up. Yes, we've had a couple of players leave and a couple of players join us. Probably not hit the mark quite yet. But reality is reality, you know? So for me, I just think whenever you come in as a manager, it's going to be difficult. But reality is, whoever comes in is going to have to sort of think about what and play with and what he's got.
Well, someone who does know more about the situation, Jacob, are you there? Firstly,
yep.
Sorry, Jacob. Yeah. Technical fault in the studio. Delighted to be joined by you. Obviously, a tricky time for Orient this week. We know the league form's indifferent, but Ross has now decided to step down. He is going to stay on the club until they find that successor. Who do you think it could be, Jacob?
Well, as you've already touched on in the studio, there's a sort of number of names going around, but sort of the ones that keep popping up at the moment are sort of the likes of Barnet manager Darren Curry. There's a lot of talk about Kevin Nolan returning to Orient as well, and obviously a lot of talk about Sol Campbell. I'm not sure whether any of them will sort of please every Orient fan, but I'm sure any of them that come in could do a job. I mean, Darren Curry, sort of a bit of an unknown in the sense of he's only managed at Barnet, but he had that fantastic cup run last year and seems to really be finding his way at Barnet. But at the same time, that sort of suggests that maybe he wouldn't want to leave. Sol Campbell, very inexperienced, done well at Macclesfield in his brief time, but will he be the man for him? I'm not so sure. There's a lot of names, but I'm not sure any of them are sort of nailed on at the moment. I think there's a long way to go before they find who is the right man.
I think talking about some of the names that are popping up, obviously Darren Curry, Kevin Nolan, Kevin Nugent as well. I think we're in a position now, this is of such a big appointment. I think probably the biggest appointment we've had in probably recent history in terms of what's gone on and the position we're in and how much we don't want to go back to where we were last season. I think how do you feel in terms of how important is it to have someone outside of the club to come in and make an immediate impact rather than someone that knows the club really well?
I think that is key. I think you don't want anyone with too many links to Orient or even links to too many people as in they know them, because they've got to come in and sort of change things slightly. Obviously, we know there's a good squad there from what they've done last season. We know that it just hasn't sort of worked so far this season as well. Maybe it's time for someone to come in and just give them a bit of a kick up the backside and sort of say, look, it's time to move on and get going. As I think the team is there, you know. The team doesn't get bad overnight. It seems there's the same old mistakes they're making this season. And I think going for someone with a bit of experience and no sort of links to the club is the way forward. But who that is, it will be sort of a big question mark.
So we talked about the new manager, but sort of looking back at your role, reporting on the O's, what's your thoughts on what's been gone wrong for those 10 games? Forget the obvious, but what's gone wrong? Because we've not been playing like we've some of the games like we've actually known each other. So what do you think was been the major problem, especially when sitting up from the press box looking down and seeing it from a bigger picture?
I think it's slight naivety. You know, you win so many games the season before, you often expect to just keep winning games, and that sort of step up in standard, it seems like they just can't cope with little things and sort of they get punished for little mistakes massively. I mean, you see often the goals are just a mistake in midfield or a mistake at the back or losing a marker, you know, simple stuff really. Saying that, I think there's been spells when they've looked okay, and they have played four of the top teams in them opening 10 games, so it's been a tricky start. But it seems like it's just that step up seems a bit much for the inexperienced players, and sounds stupid, but I think they miss it, sort of likes of Joby Mackenough, someone that sort of picks them up when they're down and leads them on the pitch. You know, you saw even last season the games without him, they sort of struggled, and he is a massive part to the success last season.
And we've kind of struggled picking a solid, settled 11, picking a solid, settled formation. You've seen a lot of games. What, in your opinion, would be the way to go? What formation? What do you think Ross should do on Saturday?
I think they've looked better with the four at the back. I think the five and the three, whatever way you want to call it, they sort of rolled with it because it worked at the back end of last season. And you have got three centre-backs that probably should all be starting, so I think they went with that at first, but I think the four at the back, they just look a bit more compact, you know, and they seem less in each other's way almost at the back as well. And the game at Exeter is a prime example where they played well. They had a lot of sort of, they had to weather a lot of storms, but they sort of sat well and played quite well, and they sort of create more going forward, I think, with the wingers, whereas taking that sort of width out of the team, it hasn't seemed to work too much for them.
Jacob, we mentioned on the show that it's 10 games in. It's almost harder for a manager to walk into this situation now because the season has already started. There's going to be so many eyes on him because obviously Ross stepping down. Is it harder or would it have been harder in the summer? Will this be a tough task to take on now in very challenging circumstances still?
I think it would have been a tough task either way, to be honest. I mean, I think it was the right decision for the club to sort of bump Ross up and sort of let that whole grieving period go past, and I think any manager that come in would have had a tough time doing that. You know, being new to the club, it might not have been the right thing for someone else to come in and make loads of changes or sort of run that and organise that team, but being sort of 10 games into a season, it is hard. There's no sort of, the transfer market's closed, you can't make immediate changes, they'd have to sort of work with what the squad is, and that is always hard for managers, but given they're obviously going to have to be given time, but it will be hard for whoever comes in, and it will be still a tricky job, as I think everyone still is sort of still attached to everything that sort of happened in the summer, although Ross done sort of a brilliant job at sort of making football the forefront of a lot of people's minds again.
Well, Jacob, thank you so much for coming on. If you hear any whispers, as you may, please come on to the show and tell us so we can get ahead of the curve and see who the next man is in charge. We'll be looking out for your articles. Jacob Ransom, sports reporter for the East London Advertiser there. It is a difficult time, but is there still that positive feeling around the club? Because I remember, you know, game day one, you beat Cheltenham. It was such a high, you know, that emotionally charged game. Like you said, it is still early. It's only 10 games in. You know, a few more wins, things are different. Is this just what the club need now? You know, the boost has come at the right time, Rob.
Yeah, I think we've had a bit of a reality check from the start of the season. It's always easy to ride the emotions of coming up as champions and winning your first game and everything's rosy.
You get carried away, don't you, after one game?
I think we get carried away.
The golf's not that big. The classing difference isn't that much.
Yeah, I think it's not always a bad thing to get slapped down a little bit and sort of regroup and go again. I think there's been a lot of individual mistakes, which is not you can expect not to continue to happen. Eventually, they will be cut out. I think we're looking relatively dangerous going forward. I think it's more just a bit of a regroup and rethink. Pressure's off the next few games for Ross. Hopefully that will have some sort of impact on the pitch. And then the next guy comes in, hopefully big personality, big character, come in to change the dressing room instantly like Justin did, and we can crack on.
Yeah, I think in terms of the mood, it might have slipped a bit. But in terms of like the people actually coming through the door, still attendances are still very good, like on par with the end of the conference season. So I was looking at the attendance table for the whole division and we're right up in the top six. So should be an attractive job for any new manager coming in. And you'd think like hopefully we're still one of the big clubs in this division. So yeah,
yeah, it's always an attractive job. Leighton Orient are a massive club. London, they've got no really negative flaws to consider, really, do they? You know, positive. I know we spoke to Kent Teague on the show. You know, it should be attractive for all managers going forward, Julian.
I think you just mentioned that. I think the ownership is definitely a foundation. We look at Bury, look at where we were a few years back. So I think that for any manager coming in, so it's stability, opportunity to grow. Only problem we have is the expectations we put upon ourselves. So if we can make sure we measure...
Is that all clubs, though? All fans? We all do it. We're all guilty of that, aren't we?
Yeah, yes and no. I think we need to reality check at times. You know, we are Leighton Orient and we've been successful not much over our history. But we're our club, you know. And I know we talked about last week about would you want a sort of Red Bull or someone like taking over the Orient? And again, it's sort of personal opinion. But I think whoever comes in, whenever they come in, the job they're going to do is, the first thing, as Rob said, they'll get that dressing room ticking again with their opinions, their views. And that would, as in any job, with a new manager changes, they come in and just that instant buzz will push us forward.
Well, they're not only hoping for a new manager bounce, but they're hoping that now, Ross, the pressure is off. It could make an impact. That impact hopefully will start this weekend when Leighton Orient take Port Vale. And next, we're going to be doing a preview all for that game.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the Rob Edwards, the guest Julian Fern is coming. The nickname is coming. We just said there, we feel negative tonight, you know, the show, because obviously heavy news is hanging over us all, you know. Obviously, Ross has decided to step down. The league form isn't great at the minute. We just can't get a point. We just can't get that win. We need to be positive. We will be positive. It's going to turn around this week. It's starting against Port Vale, and I've got some great news. They have yet to win away from home. And they're not going to get it this weekend. Julian, how good is that stat?
Oh, that's amazing.
It's blown your mind, ain't it?
I don't know what to say. I'm speechless.
Speechless. Right, well, let's keep it going because it is Port Vale on the weekend. This section is positivity and positive generally. We're going to talk about Leighton Orient women because they've got a fantastic media manager who's brilliant at the media, not so great at the knowledge anymore. But we've got lots to talk about on this show. But let's start with the game on the weekend. You know, the pressure is off, I think, not only for Ross now, but for the players as well. And they're going to want to impress that new man in charge. We don't know a shortlist yet, but that whoever it could be will be watching, because the potential suitors are going to keep their eye on Leighton right now. People are going to be watching in the stands. They want to make a case for themselves. Let's be positive about it all. What can happen this weekend, Rob?
I think we can only really get better. You'd like to think so anyway. I think home advantage again. We've not looked too bad at home so far this season. A bit of bad luck will probably cost us 3 or 4 points. I think everyone will be behind Ross and the team this weekend. I think it will this will sort of galvanise everyone again and get us all going. I think the atmosphere will be good. I think it will be a good atmosphere for the players to play in. And yeah, as we've said, just no pressure. They can go out and do their thing, and not so much worry about impressing a new manager. I think for themselves, they know they're a lot better than that individually, and the way they've been playing as a team. So I think I'm really positive for the weekend. I think we're going to get back to where we need to be.
Well, that's the word I want to hear. Galvanise, energy. Brendan, being the knowledge, thought he could one-up me, just showed me a photo of Port Vale beating Macclesfield away. But as I said, they haven't won away in the league. That was the EFL trophy, so good luck, Brendan. But if you're going to come to this party, make sure you bring a stat that's worth it, yeah? Because you may be the knowledge, but this is Love Sport Towers, and I am the president in charge. Julian, it is Port Vale on the weekend, who, let me just point out, haven't won away in the league yet. How are you feeling about this one?
I think we're saying about the pressure's off. I think that's a load of rubbish. I think the pressure's
really
pressure's still on.
Okay,
for the reasons you picked up the last bit, I think for pride of that player saying, actually, a couple of months ago I was half decent, and everyone's going to look at me like I'm a god, and now I'm playing like someone I don't know my players around me. I think that's still pressure on a player. You've got to perform. It's like in anything where your expectations are quite high, you still need to go out there and perform. Yes, I think we as a club will always get behind our players, even in the dark time. I know Saturday we had a bit of a moan, but we have a moan even when we're winning. So reality is that I think the pressure's still going to be on, but not on Ross as such. I think the pressure's on the club. We're Leyton Orient, and we expect better than what we've been achieving over the recent weeks.
I think you're right. Now the debate is flowing, it's feeling more positive. But you say that maybe the pressure's still on, but and I think you're right there. But could this just add another 10-20% to the players' games? Because they know the news this week. You know, they know what's going on at the club. They want to maybe put in a performance for Ross because they are very close to him. There's not been a sort of disconnect between player and manager. Could they go, let's send Ross out on a high? You know, we know he's staying on as an assistant, but really put on a show because more eyes are watching Orient this weekend.
Why didn't they put their performance on in 3 minutes on Saturday afternoon?
That's a very different question.
Why did
altogether?
They watch the ball go in 25 minutes after that? Why did they look at each other thinking, starting the blame game? That's last week, yeah? Why have things changed? They should have been doing that week one, week two, week three, up to week 10, and we wouldn't be in this position. So the players and Ross together have got us to here. I think the pressure is on the players to perform. And guess what? A manager coming in of Derek Adams' type of ilk, he's not going to take suffer any falls. And if he thinks someone's not going to play for the club and actually go out there every game, play 100%, January, be looking for a replacement.
Well, Brendan, is the pressure on the players? Is it off the players? How do you feel about it? Because they are facing Port Vale, who are yet to win away in the league.
I think, as you say, it's definitely off Ross now. Ross can kind of do his job. No, he's only got maybe 1, 2, 3 games left. Can do it, have a bit of freedom in his job. But the players might feel they might have let him down a bit there, and they might be in for a performance. And when you look at it, with all respect to Port Vale, you've got to be beating Port Vale at home if you want to be even mid-table in this league, because they're no great shakes, really, when you look at them.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, because Port Vale might feel differently. We'll hear from a fan in a little bit to get the opposition view, but they're doing okay this season. Again, they're very inconsistent. They score goals, but they can see goals as well, and we mentioned it. Is this the perfect game, then, to get back on track with? Because you're saying that Port Vale, we should be beating them. They're no great shakes, you know, for what we want to do in this league. And we're at home, and we always said it's the home form this year that counts. You've got that great win on the first day of the season. Can it sort of be imitated again on Saturday, Julian?
It could do, but I'm not going to move away from what I said. I think the pressure's on. So I really just hope...
Tough crowd tonight, tough crowd.
No, I just really hope that the players do go out there and do the things we've all said, you know. But reality is the guys have got to perform, and they've got to perform not just week 11, it's week 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and continue, because that's what they're paid to do, and they're in a performance business, and they have to perform.
I'd be a lot more confident if Liangol was fit and playing, because he's going to be a huge miss on Saturday, and I think he'll be out for longer than that. At the minute, we look a bit toothless without him. He was probably our best
Sartorio
signing in the summer.
Start Saturday.
Yeah, maybe try something different, a bit of pace in the attack like Sartorio. But I think Wilkinson next to Louis Dennis, I'm not sure about it.
Rob, how do you feel about the game on the weekend?
Yeah, as I said, I think I'm positive. I think there's points to prove for everybody, and I think not just to get a good result for the team. I think there's so much negativity flying around Twitter this week with fans slagging off fans for how big a fan they are. It's a bit of top trumps going on, which is a bit silly.
I hate all that stuff, Robert. Sorry, I know I'm interrupting you. Let's actually talk about that, because that is at a running order and we haven't really touched on it. You know, the judging fan levels and this whole social media and Twitter people. Now, you say the slightest thing, you're not allowed an opinion, but I know opinions. If you've, you know, I'm of the old age, you've not got something nice to say, don't say it at all, unless it's private. You know, would you say those things in the street? That's a whole nother debate. We could do a show that's not Leyton Orient based on that. But, Rob, there is this split. Where has this come from? Because I don't want to exaggerate here, because it's not, but it can lead to being quite toxic if you're not careful.
It does. I think the fans are turning against each other. They're turning against players who were heroes last season. It's just very fickle. I think a lot of football fans are very fickle.
They are.
Ours particularly can be that way. The minute things are not going the way they should be, there's people they can look at and start pointing fingers at. And because there's so much division between opinions from fans supporting one player, supporting the manager, not supporting the manager, it then just creates that kind of snowballing effect where fans kind of take to each other. But, I mean, it's not gone well the last few weeks, but look at where we've been. I mean, we need to look at the positives to where we are, a Football League team still. It's 10 games in. We've got a long way to turn it around. Decisions have been made off the pitch with regards to Ross stepping down, and I'm sure the next appointment will be a good one. And we'll get us firing again. It's a difficult one to really understand why, but it just tends to happen, and particularly amongst us.
I just go back to the sort of social media thing. I think you're right. We've all got opinions, and we're on this radio show because we've got opinions. It may not be the opinion of half the population who support Orient, but reality is we have the right to share that opinion. But going back, just thinking there when you was talking, remember when we started off in National League, how many games was it until our manager was sacked and Justin was brought in?
Maybe November time.
Yeah.
17,
yeah.
18.
So it's probably a theme here. This is the way we work now, you know. We give someone a chance, you know, it's not quite work out. Then the big cavalry comes in, saves us on a shining night. Everything's really good and we get promoted.
Well, maybe League One is calling. Already expecting that. Well, someone who will be expecting Port Vale to put on a performance this weekend next will be getting the opposition view with Darren Gregory.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher, the guest, Julian Fern, and the best, Rob Edwards. No, it still needs work. Still needs work. But we've been talking about that disappointing defeat to Colchester 2-1. We looked who could replace Ross because Ross has decided to step down. Massive news there. We were just speaking to Jacob Ranson, sports reporter for the East London Advertiser. But now we turn our attentions to the game on the weekend. Port Vale, a huge game on the weekend. Port Vale coming to the capital without that away win yet in the league. Can they get it on the weekend? But maybe the pressure is off for Orient. Joining us now, Port Vale fan Darren Gregory. Darren, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. What are your thoughts going into the game on the weekend? Are you fearful of Leighton Orient? Are you seeing this, or are you seeing this as the perfect opportunity to get that first away 3 points?
Yeah, good evening to you. Yeah, I'm hopeful we'll get a result this weekend. We're a bit hit and miss, to be honest. We're very good at home and quite poor away, but I've noticed that yourselves can see quite a lot of goals, so I'm hopeful we'll get at least a draw, but more than hopeful of a victory, to be honest.
And we've experienced a John Askey side before when he was Macclesfield manager in the conference. What are your views on him?
He's done a good job because when he came in February, the club was in disarray and the football improved. And obviously, he kept us in division. So, yeah, I've been impressed so far.
Obviously, looking at your season striker, Tom Pope, it seems like he's been around since the Mary Rose. Is he still one to cause us a lot of problems?
No, not really. He's actually lost his place. He played the first couple of games and then he lost his place to a guy who we signed from Carlisle called Richie Bennett. He's now scored 4 goals. But Pope did start last Saturday. That was probably his first game in about the last 6. He's sort of changed the formation for a more mobile forward. So he's actually been on the substitutes bench.
So for what you've sort of seen your club doing this season and bits you've seen about the O's, What's we talk about the formation. We moan a lot about formation. What's the formation you guys play?
Yeah, we go 4-3-3. With the three up top is basically the focal point in the middle, and two wide men. We've got a quick winger called David Amu, who we signed from Cambridge, who's quickly become a fan's favourite, and then David Worrell on the other wing. And they're supporting the central striker. But it's worked very well at home, but we struggled away from home for goals. So, like I say, you know, without being disrespectful to Orient, feel that this is a good chance this weekend, given the amount of goals that Orient conceding at the moment.
Well, you mentioned this is a good chance, Darren. Is this a better chance now that, you know, with the manager uncertainty? Because, yes, Ross has stepped down, but he would still be in the dugout on the weekend. So I don't know how much this will impact Port Vale or Orient. Are you wishing that this maybe would have happened after you played, or you feel this gives you a better chance?
I don't think it'll have much relevance, to be honest, because he still knows the players, doesn't he? So he'll probably stick with what he knows best. And, like I say, he's keeping the role until the replacement's found. Obviously, everybody was upset at the tragic events with Justin, and he had an unenviable task, didn't he? So, you know, he's done well, steadied the ship and that, and obviously, for whatever reason, well, feels it's not for him.
before we get your score prediction, what was Port Vale's expectations and aims this season? Were you expecting them to challenge at the top of League Two and maybe get into those playoffs, or were you just thought we need another year, you know, re-establish ourselves?
No, not at all. Just solidity, really. We've just about survived by the skin of our teeth the last couple of seasons. I think we stayed up by 1 point 2 years ago. And then last season, it was a bit more comfortable. I think we stayed up by 7 points, but even up to the beginning of April, we were still in a relegation struggle. So we've had new ownership, so things are more positive that way. But we've got a low budget because the new owners have had to pay over the odds for the club. So we're realistic. The first 11's decent, but the squad's weak. First 11 could give anybody a game, but obviously there's injuries and suspensions. So, no, I'd like sort of, you know, after say 38, 37 games, whatever, if it could be about 5 or 6 points off the playoffs, at least there's something to aim for, but I'd probably settle for about 12th or 13th, to be honest, and that's a massive improvement over the last couple of seasons.
I think, obviously, we've been out of the league for a couple of years. I think what we've all noticed in these last 10 games, it's a much stronger League 2 than the one that we left a few years ago. So obviously being in League 2 now for a number of years, what do you think is, what does a club need to really get out? What's the most important thing on the pitch to get out of this division?
I think you've got to have a big team. I'm not saying sort of, you know, Wimbledon of the 80s, kick and rush style football, but I think you need a physical presence throughout the team. We're quite a small team. When we went up in 2013 with Mickey Adams, we had a lot of 6 foot players who could play as well as being physical. And I think we lack in some respects. We're quite a small team. You'll see that Saturday centre. I was only about 5'10", one of them. Fullbacks maybe 5'9", the right back. We're quite a small team. Not got many big guys at all. Get bullied a bit sometimes, and I think that's where we lack. We need more of a physical presence in the side.
You won't get bullied this weekend. They've got George Marsh in their lineup. He's really towering. He's about 6 foot, 5 foot three. Darren, what is your score prediction for the weekend, though?
Just based on our away record, I'm going to sit on the fence, and I think there'll be goals, so I'll go for a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. Orient may take that, Darren, but you will get splinters. You're sitting on the fence, but you've certainly made some friends in the studio. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time tonight, Darren. Really appreciate that. Darren Gregory there, Port Vale fan. Really good to hear from him. He's sitting on the fence. He's going 2-2. I do have to ask for your score predictions in the studio. I will start with the knowledge, the only place to start, Brendan, because you will more than likely be right. What is your thoughts ahead of the game and your score prediction?
I'm going to echo Darren's thoughts there and go for 2-2. Both teams seem to score a lot of goals. I don't think... if Angol was playing, I'd be more confident. But yeah, I'll go for 2-2.
2-2 as well. That's 2-2-2s.
3-1 the O's.
3-1. Very confident. Well, you said the pressure was on, but they're going to live up to it.
But I think the pressure is going to bring players to go, you know what, if I don't buck my ideas up, I'm not going to be playing as post sort of midweek through October. So I've got to start to perform. Especially when you've got Joby coming back. You got my brain's gone dead. Dayton coming back. So we've got players coming back in, and some of the youth players. Hector's back in playing. So we do you know what? 3-1. Go on.
Well, are going to perform under that pressure, you know, back to the wall, why haven't they done it in the last few games? Because the pressure was still on then.
If I knew that, I wouldn't be able to be managing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
There's a job available, apparently.
Yeah. Going Orient.
Yeah, okay.
Rob, where do you stand on your score prediction?
I think we'll batter them. I think there's a built up tension that will be released. I think there's obviously with Angle going down, there's some potential heroes out there that want to make some names for themselves and prove a few people wrong. I genuinely think we will. I'm probably not very silly come 5 o'clock on Saturday, but I think there'll be goals. I think we're looking at 3 or 4-1. I think we'll batter them.
Really convincing.
I'm very confident. I think there's
the knowledge here, no more over there.
It is. I must admit, it is swaying away from Brendan. He's on a bit of tricky, you know, winter form. He's not at the best. Maybe he's picked up an injury, suspension soon. Adam's coming back in. He's struggling, Brendan, for a bit of form at the minute. Rob, you're saying it's going to be convincing. So by that nature, obviously 3 points for Orient on a weekend. But are you saying almost you reckon this could be the best performance of the season so far as well?
I think so. I think there's been a lot of negatives on the pitch, off the pitch. I think there's a lot of points to be proven. Strikers that need to score goals, midfielders that need to get in the game, or defenders that need to keep clean sheets. So I think it'll all come to a pass, and I think we'll be a comfortable win by the end of the
Your day. WhatsApp will be bleeping away on Saturday without the whistles.
Yeah, I can't wait for the score updates and the wine emojis. I'm very looking to a 3-4-1 goal update rush. But before the new manager steps into the role, what would be the thing that you would change looking from afar now? What is the first thing that Orient need to work on?
I don't think it's much to change. I just think that is the bringing someone in, and the guy earlier, Jacob, was talking about someone who doesn't really connect it to Orient. So they're coming in with clean sheet, their opinions and their views, but actually saying, it's my territory now. This is how we're going to play, how we're going to perform. I know you're all good players. You're a League Two side now and act like one.
Oof, strong words. Brendan?
The theme of last season was kind of consistency. We're on an even keel the whole time. And I think that's a lot to do with Justin's team selection. It was kind of, we play this way, all right, we changed it halfway through, but then we stuck to it again. We stick with, I think, what the new manager's got to do, or what Ross has got to do while he's still there, is just keep the same formation. Try, as I know there's going to be injuries and suspensions, but try and keep kind of the same 11 together and try and get like a bit of a run of consistency going.
And very quickly, can I just ask about Leighton Orient Women? What is the latest, yeah, Brendan? How's it going?
They won again on Sunday.
Oh, come on, the
we should have started, yeah, with this. Four sections.
Two
Another
nil,
win. Two clean
nil,
sheet.
2-0 win over Actonians. So fifth win in six games. The other one was a draw, so they're unbeaten in six now.
Flying.
They've got Basildon at home at the Mile End Stadium on Sunday, so if anyone wants to come along.
When's the top of the table
away
clash? Who's
we've
leading?
Got, we've got Billericay around Christmas time. So
oh, that's a massive Christmas, yeah, clash. I can't wait. I'm going to go down here. I'm going to do live comms on the game. Well, this has been Leighton Orient Fan Show. It's a massive game on the weekend. They are playing Port Vale, who are yet to win away from home in the league. Can Leighton Orient get the 3 points? We will see you next Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.